702 Weekend Breakfast
with Refilwe Mpakanyane.
Live, online,
smartphones,
DSTV channel 856
and 92.7 and 106 FM.
7 minutes past nine. It's the final hour of the Sunday edition of Weekend Breakfast. Thank you so much for spending your morning with us. I hope you've gleaned some interesting insights, maybe found your new favorite rapper in Mo Moleme. I can't wait for State of Motswako address to come out. It is time now to pivot, and we're talking wellness with Kosi Giane, clinical psychologist, joins me in studio as we do every Sunday. Kosi, good morning.
Hey, great to be here again.
Kosi, you know, this week has been all about mental health awareness, and essentially, you know, advocating for better resources for people who need them, but also a lot of people sharing their own stories about the kind of stress that they find themselves under. And a colleague in the industry, Karinta Hunter, tweeted something early on in the week that really caught my eye. You know, someone had asked, "What, you know, how do journalists cope, right? Or how do our parents cope?" And someone was saying, "Well, you know, a lot of the older generation of writers hide behind the bottle, you know." And then the conversation became and other people, it's not just the bottle, but they're self-medicating in so many other different ways. And I'm really keen to find out how we can start to sort of maintain a healthy mental state when you're under pressure at work, or if you're necessarily in a work environment that is just stressful. So it's not stressful for a day because of a deadline. It just is stressful in general. Yeah. And I think it's a nice way to go about talking about Mental Health Awareness Month, because if you, for instance, we hear the anecdotes, and we hear the, you know, not the whispers, but the anecdotes about, you know, a lot of doctors on call and hospitals will take things, whether it's, you know, illicit drugs to stay awake because of those long grinding shifts, right? We know that policemen are under high stress in general. We hear a lot about murder suicides involving policemen, which is just horrific in and of itself. We know that that just those high stress professions. How does one begin to cope with a stressful job? So how do I, for instance, recognize that actually I am experiencing a mental health problem or crisis?
Sure. So that was quite a mouthy intro.
It was a lot.
With a lot to unpack out of that. And I'd like us to kind of quarantine a few things, or just separate them into, you know, chunks of discussion. So, you know, we live in interesting times for all the wrong reasons in many ways, in that there is so much competing for the self within any 24-hour segment in most people's lives, you know, both at a macro level of things that are happening in society, things that are beyond our control, but which nevertheless trickle down to us in one way or another. And then there are the micro level stuff of things that we find ourselves in, situations that we find ourselves in that demand so much out of us to be able to juggle so many of those units of things that require our attention in any space of time, that needless to say, it will in one way or other take a toll on us. And it then begins to call on our coping resources. And even coping itself is just a word that just says, can I just get by? You know, it's just kind of the minimal, the baseline of, you know, being at the baseline of things. Just have your head above water, which is really not an ideal place to live. Because as human beings, we are not designed to survive. It's just not in our nature. We are designed to thrive, to be at our highest and best selves. And whenever we live below that, there is no ways that we can do that without somehow paying the price. And therefore, our coping resources, and you know, in its wisdom, the body has the capacity. We can talk about our vulnerability, but equally we also need to talk about our resilience, individually and collectively as a human society. And so we generate the things that stress us, but equally, you know, we also have the capacity to be resilient and fall forward on so many levels. So that's what we need to activate within ourselves.
Yeah. In a high-stress profession or a high-stress job, when can I begin to start thinking, you know what, I'm not coping, I'm not okay? Because I mentioned a few professions where you are expected to display this level of bravado.
Yeah.
You know, you go out into the field, you cover a story, you see bodies, you watch people die, or you get on the scene after something really horrific has happened, and then you come back to the newsroom, you file your story, and there's not necessarily always a chance to process or to be counseled, if at all, then
move
not
on.
Often at all.
Move on. You're chasing the next.
You're chasing the next thing. Or you're a policeman and, you know, you deal with what you deal with and then you hang up your holster and then you're supposed to go home, you know, and be a functioning human being.
Sure.
How do you know in a situation or career like that, that actually this thing is taking a toll on me?
Sure. You know, so the thing is, we need to be in all our doing, in all the actions that we need to take, we need to always start from a being, a state of being, rather than a state of doing. And so we get caught up in the treadmill of doing.
Yeah.
And it is important that we find a moment of, so if you take the analogy of the ocean, the ebb and the flow, so we are constantly on the out, that cannot work. There needs to be a retreat. You know, as the analogy says, you cannot, you know, run on empty. You know, our own petrol tank is running on empty, and yet we expect to be at our highest and best. So in every moment, we need to carve out time for the self, for the being, rather than the self that needs to be doing stuff. And it's unfortunate that the nature of our lives is such that from the beginning, from the get-go, as children, you know, you are shoved away, shoved to this and that and the other. We learn how to do things out there, and we become absent landlords because we forget about the self that needs to be doing all these things. So we are, you know, we are our first and most present person.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we are not present to that self many a times. And so it calls on us. In fact, that stress factor is when your body is saying too much.
Yeah.
Too much, right? And what we then do, because we are on this treadmill that just doesn't stop, or we have told ourselves that the treadmill doesn't stop, we then just kind of find something else. When we have exhausted all our cortisol, our capacity to cope with stuff, we then find extra things, you know, as you said, self-medicate, or we alcohol-medicate ourselves instead of finding functional ways of coping. And of course, these are not easy dilemmas to manage.
Yeah.
None of this is easy. If it were, we wouldn't be in the situation.
We'd all just do it as a matter of
course. Absolutely, indeed. But it says we pay a higher price by not going, taking ourselves off the rat race in order to replenish the self, so that it is able, we are able to get back into the race and do so with the best of us, put the best of us in the game.
How do people understand the term burnout? Because I think quite often we might use it quite loosely, but you know, it's debilitating.
Yes.
When it happens.
Yeah.
And yes, we might think that the rat race doesn't stop and therefore we don't get off the treadmill. But it seems to me that it's even, you know, harder to get back on when you're trying to come back from burnout. Just describe it unpack it for us.
Yeah.
What it is and why it is in fact so debilitating.
So when we say burnout, we are saying you have actually depleted your body's, your physical capacity to bear up the weight of whatever is called on you. And so we need to recognize that we are just not, we have dehumanized ourselves. When you get to that point, it means you have actually pushed yourself beyond the healthy limit of thriving. And it's important. Thriving is part of our natural inclination to get out there, to, you know, to be at our best. However, there is also a line that we need to watch in saying, We shouldn't even have the phrase burnout, because we always need to make sure that you are staying on the healthy side of that line, where you are able to do what you need to do, but give yourself enough rest to replenish. Mm. So by the time you get to burnout, it means you have literally tried to withdraw more than you have deposited into your self account.
Yeah.
And your body is simply saying, I can't do this. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You have overdrawn, you've gone into overdraft way beyond the body's capacity.
So I'm interested to find out, and maybe you've got some stories or insights to share around this. Do you, I mean, maybe you work in a place where you do, you know, it's a high stress environment, but you actually do have the requisite support, right, from your employers or your colleagues. Give us a shout on 011-883-0702. Excuse me. Otherwise, send that SMS to 31702. I really want to hear your own experience, and maybe you've been able to circumvent that and just avoid the usual pitfalls, or maybe you have come back from burnout, as Kosi Gyan and I are talking about right now. So in terms of burnout, physically, you've, you know, gotten to the point where you've, I don't know, maybe you're at a point of adrenal fatigue where your body's just said, I am done, I'm depleted, I can't process anymore. Mentally, what does burnout, how does it manifest? What does it begin to look like?
So it begins to look like where you actually cannot, you know, for some people, you can't even string together a sentence, a coherent sentence. Mm-hmm. Because you are just that finished.
Yeah.
It's like people after a marathon race who are just finished.
Yeah.
And that's how we are internally.
Yeah.
You know, the challenge with these types of things, Rufilwe, is that we pay attention, most of us, when it is too late.
Mm-hmm.
Because the body will express. And so people will only pay attention when it has manifested in some physical ailment.
Yeah.
And so for most of the issues that people consult doctors with, they are actually psychosomatic issues. In other words, it is psychological issues that have taken such a toll that the body itself is going into an implosion mode.
Yeah.
And it is only when people can physically, because we have become so accustomed to the physical body and we ignore what is within or beyond the physical body.
Yeah.
It is. So the body serves as the alarm system that we can respond to, because there's an element in us that says we can take the psycho-spiritual dynamic for granted.
Yeah.
And it is only when it manifests as a physical ailment. 60% of conditions that people present with at medical doctors' rooms are not physical issues. They are psycho-spiritual issues that have now expressed somatically through the body. And so many people will actually come to the psychologist's rooms via that physical manifestation when there is actually no other explanation for the condition that people are experiencing. Yeah. Stress is such a debilitating situation. Many people we work with in corporates, people tell you they have to take stuff.
Mm.
They have to medicate in order to get through the day because there is so much.
Yeah. And so many people are in toxic environments. Mm. And I like what you said, or, you know, not like it, but what you said is so important, that people feel they have to stay there. They have to thrive in that environment. Yeah. And it's not always an option to quit midstream or change careers and change tack, but maybe it should be.
Yeah, you know, I actually been reflecting on this quite a lot, and I'm asking the question of kind of on some level, it feels like some evolutionary process is going on, and I'm asking it at that level. So I'm asking of the human community, what are we doing to ourselves? Because we have gotten to a stage, and I hear this a lot with people that work within the corporate space, for example, around how change is going on in organizations, how so people are expected to do so much more with so little.
Yeah.
The whole notion that if you look at it, you know, at its biggest and macro level, where, for example, a concrete example is when an organization made a profit of 200 million and it's no longer good enough for next year.
Mm.
So next year they have to do better than that. So the sense of when will things be enough? And so we are constantly pushing the needle, constantly pushing ourselves beyond boundaries, beyond boundaries. And I'm asking, where is it taking us?
Mm-hmm.
At what price is this going to happen? The so-called success. What have we defined as success?
Yeah.
And at what price? Collectively to the human community. And, you know, you hear of organizations where a job that used to be done by 9 people, now one person is doing that job.
Mm, because
how
budget.
Yes. Yeah. How can you? And budget is about being able to deliver shareholder value. And shareholder value means they've got to get more than 200 million that they've gotten this year. Where is it going to come from within a 24-hour cycle?
Mm.
So we will pay the price.
Absolutely.
For as long as we're living unconsciously. Mm. And we, as long as we are chasing that next, pushing the boundaries, it's going to come at a cost. And this is the price that we will pay individually, as organizations, and ultimately collectively as the human community.
You've touched on your work in the corporate space. I'm keen to see or to unpack what we, what employers and corporates and businesses should be looking at, or and institutions should be looking at and trying to do to help that you know, the employees with mental health issues. But I want us to, please put your headphones on. I want us to take a call from a listener in Johannesburg. Good morning, Michelle. Thank you so much for calling. You can talk to Corsi directly.
Good morning, Lucille and your guest. Are you able to hear me well?
Good morning. We can. Thank you. Yep. Go ahead.
I mean, the experience that you just explained, that is mine exactly. I work in the corporate space. It's very deadline-driven. It's a cutthroat environment. You're expected to do, deliver.
Mm-hmm.
The deadline at any cost. The presentation is due. You need to make sure that you're on point. You need to have all your wits about you at any given moment.
Mm.
Because of the structural issues within the environment, it's one person doing 5 people's job, and that is continuously changing.
Yeah.
When you're expected to do more. I'm at the point where I'm considering just resigning because I can't do it anymore.
Mm.
I've been doing what I've been doing for almost 18 years, and I've not experienced what I'm experiencing now to the extent that I am. And I've asked myself, have I lost my tenacity? Have I lost my resilience? Or is it really that this environment is pushing me to the edge?
Yeah.
I'm snapping, you know, at family, at my child.
Mm.
I'm anxious. Today is Sunday. I'm already thinking it's work tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, what am I going to do? It's just horrible. There's no support from the employer.
Yeah.
Although they say there is. It's really difficult. And, I mean, I'm a single mother. I can't just up and leave. What do you do?
Michelle, I can feel your pain, and the thing is, you've just pointed out something so important, and that's that you're a single mom.
Mm.
So your child needs you. Mm. There's no plan B or C. You need to be healthy. You need to be functional, and you also need to be happy.
Sure,
you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
And while you're busy out there trying to get the bacon, as it were.
Yeah.
You know, the question is, what happens to your child, the unparented child?
Mm.
You know, and so there's competing priorities, and you feel as a person picked on all sides, and being not good as a parent, but also feeling after all that you're doing, as Michelle, you have aptly painted the picture for us, that even that's not good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michelle, do you have a sense that you're close to making a decision?
Unfortunately not. I mean, I'm just taking it day by day.
Yeah.
I'm praying every day just for strength to get through it. Some days are better than others.
Yeah.
But 80% of the day, you know, and the days that I go through, it's like this.
Yeah.
And that's the experience. Please, over the last couple of months. Yeah.
If you can, please reach out and get some help. There are organizations that, if your company is not affiliated to one, there are organizations that will help you at least get a counselor, someone to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, talking does so much and relieves so much. It doesn't fix things, but it does relieve a lot of pressure. So please, if you can, get some help, some professional help.
Yeah, I was actually just going to check if you have an employee assistance program.
Uh-huh.
And also companies, as part of this unbundling, you know, companies will say, this is our core function. This is what we, and so therefore there's medical aid, you know, take
use
care
it.
Of that. Yeah. Use your medical aid and so on.
Yeah.
And then you find also that you know, as the
let me thank Michelle for the call and let you go. Michelle, thank you. If you can, like we said, please do reach out and find an organization. Organizations you can call into as well. And if you need to see someone in person, you pay them what you can afford at that point. And it doesn't have to be, you know, these huge bills for other professionals. But please, all the best. And I hope things work out for you, Michelle. Okay.
Strength to you, Michelle, and others in a similar position. I was just saying that you know, there are employee assistance programs and those sorts of companies that does that sort of containment and counseling to help people cope with that. But also companies will point you to, you know, there's a medical aid and use that medical aid. And even that term says medical. Many medical aids do not actually provide for psycho-spiritual care. People then end up
Tends to come at a premium.
It comes at a premium. And people feel already they're coping financially. They're stretched. And it feels like a luxury to have to out of your pocket to pay to go and see a psychologist, for example, to be able to deal with all that. And it's not as if while all that is going on, for example, in Michelle's life, that everything else in life, you know, is on a good. So it's just one pocket of stress that she has to deal with. On top of that, as you know, in the family life, there's just as much going on. And how can we carry all that on our own?
You know, we haven't begun to scratch the surface, but the name of the organization I was searching for is Lifeline. Incredibly useful, I think. And I think SADAG is a good resource, right? The South African Depression and Anxiety Group as well. So, you know, Google is your friend when you can. And maybe you know someone who's in that position who needs you to help them out to with doing that research and doing some of the legwork initially. Because when you're deep in the woods, you somehow sometimes can't see exactly that. The tree for the woods.
True.
Kosi, thank you so much. We'll catch up again next week.
Thanks,
Lynn. All right.